I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
We pray to thee, O God, our heavenly Father. Humbly we come and pray that thou wilt grant us peace. Make all to love thee as thou hast loved us. Make us to love our fellow men forevermore. Yea, to love our fellow to thee and pray that thou wilt grant us peace.
Thank you, men, for leading us in that opening prayer. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international media ministry, and we're now celebrating 50 years of God's faithfulness. Did you know there's a story in the Bible about a king who had a secret? It was a strange and unusual secret, a secret that nearly cost many people their lives. Curious? Good. I invite you to stay tuned for my message, The Revealer of Secrets, from Daniel chapter 2. Secrets. They can be fun, or they can be devastating. It's fun to plan a special event for someone and to be able to surprise them at just the right time. It's fun to give a gift to someone who's completely unsuspecting, to see the joy on their face as they receive it. And it's fun for friends to have special things between them that no one else knows. But secrets can be devastating too. How many women have been devastated to find out that their husband or boyfriend is secretly enslaved to pornography? Trust is broken. There's emotional pain, rejection, and hurt. They feel disappointment and betrayal and shock. So secrets have varying degrees of value. Some are just for fun, and other secrets have life-changing seriousness. Keeping a secret about a surprise party is far different than keeping state secrets from a hostile foreign power. One thing we must remember about all secrets: God knows them. Nothing is hidden from Him. In Daniel chapter 2, we find the prophet in a very difficult experience. We have a ruthless king who has a dream. We have wise men and court officials, including Daniel and his friends, who are counselors to this king. They have a dilemma. The king has a secret, and he demands his counselors to find out what the secret is and what it means, under the threat of an extremely painful death. You know, there's danger in familiarity with the scriptures. We lose some of the dynamics of an account like this. We know how the story ends. so the stories lose some of their punch. We really need to try to read the scriptures through the eyes of one who is reading them for the first time. Try to picture in your mind the setting, the scenes, and the feelings of the characters as the story develops. I believe it will help make the scriptures come alive to you in a fresh way. I invite you to do that with me now as I read our text, Daniel chapter 2 and verses 1 to 23. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand." In this text, Daniel refers to God as the revealer of secrets. That's the title for our message today. We will observe together the ways God used to reveal his plans and to show his sovereignty. The first way is the king's dream. Dreams are interesting things. In different cultures and religions, they're more significant than they are to us. For us, they're often related to things we were thinking about during our waking hours. And our dreams are often a confusing jumble of ideas or events, places, and people. And fortunately, most of them never come true. But Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, dreamed. In fact, the text says he had dreamed dreams. So he had more than one dream. And the dreams created such trouble and confusion in his mind that he couldn't sleep. One translator says, his sleep was done for. I've had dreams where I became instantly awake, with adrenaline coursing through my body. Try going back to sleep after that. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't sleep. So what does a king do when he can't sleep? Well, he obviously awakens other people. Picture Nebuchadnezzar giving the command to rouse the wise men and counselors out of their sleep. I see them hurriedly getting into the required clothing of the royal court and wondering about the urgency of this call. We can assume the level of the king's agitation by the fact that he called for all classes of his wise men to be brought before him. There were magicians. This word comes from the root of the word pen or stylus. So they were scholars or intellectuals. And then we have the astrologers. These men would be better called enchanters, those who consulted with the spirits of the dead. And then the sorcerers were next. They used spells and curses and incantations to enlist the power of the evil spirits. And last but not least, there were the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans were a people from southern Babylonia who eventually conquered the Assyrians. And as conquerors, they promoted themselves as wise men. John Whitcomb says these men were particularly accurate astronomers. The term Chaldean is sometimes used to speak of all wise men in general. Now keep in mind as we work through this account the absolute power that Nebuchadnezzar held in his kingdom. His word was law. If he made a decree, you had no recourse. Anyway, the wise men assemble hastily at the king's command, and he announces to them that he's had a dream that has left him in a troubled state of mind. Notice, after having had dreams, plural, he's now focused on just one dream. Evidently, the fact that the king had a troubling dream wasn't that big of a deal to the wise men, because they spoke up and said, "O king, live forever. Tell us the dream, and we will tell you the interpretation of it." They declared their confidence in being able to provide the interpretation of the king's dream. I imagine they didn't all speak. They probably had a spokesman for each of their groups. I wonder, later as this whole scene developed, if any of them had this thought, "Me and my big mouth." Verse 4 provides an interesting detail. The king's counselors spoke to him in the Aramaic language. And Daniel's writing, from here through chapter 7, is in Aramaic also. Now there's probably more than one reason for this, but one obvious reason seems to be the prophecies that are revealed in this section. They deal primarily with Daniel's lifetime and what has come to be called the times of the Gentiles, matters that are of worldwide concern. Now, Nebuchadnezzar springs a surprise on his counselors, which leads us to the second way God used to reveal his plans and to show his sovereignty. The second way is the counselor's dilemma. The opening words of verse 5 are difficult. The King James Version seems to imply that the king forgot what his dream was. Another possible translation is, "It is publicly known." In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's translated as, "It is gone from me," or "forgotten." But the verb can mean "gone forth" in the sense of, "I have decreed." Some scholars believe that the king hadn't forgotten his dream. They translate this difficult phrase as, "The thing is certain with me," or "it is fully determined." Is it possible that the king is testing his advisors? Remember, Nebuchadnezzar is a young king. These wise men were older. They had been his father's advisors. We learn later that the younger ones, like Daniel, weren't present at this initial meeting. The king knows that these older advisors long ago learned how to curry favor at the court. Is he testing them to see if they really do have the powers they claim to have? They were being put to the test of their superhuman claims. At any rate, he informs them that they must tell him what his dream was and then give him the interpretation. What a dilemma! Their failure to obey the king's command will result in a violent, excruciating, painful death for them and their families. Now, both the Assyrians and the Babylonians were known for their cruelty, so this was not an idle threat. If, however, they were able to fulfill the king's command, there would be rich rewards and great honor. Once again, with proper respect and protocol, they request that the king tell them what his dream was. Now, if the wise men believed that the king had truly forgotten his dream, why didn't they just make something up? It would have allowed them to save face as well as save their lives. They must have suspected that the king was withholding information from them. As their appeal, Nebuchadnezzar says, "I certainly know that you're stalling for time." And then there's the same phrase that's used in verse 5, "because you see the thing is gone from me," or as the New King James Version translates, "because you see my decision is firm." It seems like the king was warning his counselors that he could detect any invented interpretation of his dream. In fact, he specifically mentions that in verse 9. He said, "You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can give me its interpretation." If the king had truly forgotten the dream, he wouldn't have offered great reward for announcing it, nor would he have threatened such severe punishments for failure to announce it. Because if he had forgotten the dream, he wouldn't have known whether his counselors were telling the truth or if they were just making it up as they went along. Yet he warned them about that very thing. So once again, these Chaldeans tried to reason with the king. Remember, they had told him earlier, quite confidently, that they could interpret the dream. Now they're saying it's impossible to know what the dream was. No king has ever asked his wise men to answer such a decree. They suggest, politely, that Nebuchadnezzar's demand is unreasonable. Only the gods can reveal such information to mortal men, and the gods don't dwell among men. Remember, earlier these wise men had presumed to be in touch with those gods. This failure of their pagan gods sets the stage for Daniel's divine revelation of the king's dream and its meaning. Nebuchadnezzar is now absolutely furious. His decree goes out for the slaughter of all the wise men in the city, including Daniel and his friends. So in verse 13, the roundup begins. A search is being made for all who are a part of the official group of counselors. Which leads us to the next way God uses to reveal his plan and show his sovereignty. Enter Daniel. The next way is Daniel's decision. Can you imagine the panic that must have broken out among the wise men at the king's decree? Yet when Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, comes to arrest Daniel and his friends, Daniel raises his questions with calmness and wisdom. Why would the executioner pay attention to one so young and inexperienced? Well, as in chapter 1, Daniel's character, his calm demeanor, and his trust in God shine through. He must have in some way impressed Arioch. His appeal for an audience with the king shows his confidence that God would provide a solution to the problem, an answer to the question. So with candor and tact, Daniel approaches the king, and he requests more time. He states with conviction that he will show the king the interpretation of the dream, and by extension, the dream itself. When his request was granted, he immediately went and told his friends of the reprieve. He asks them to join him in prayer, appealing to the mercies of the God of heaven, that he would reveal the secret of the king's dream. You know, God's mercies stand in stark contrast to the merciless decree of death for all the wise men of Babylon. 5 times in this chapter, God is addressed as the God of heaven. The Babylonians worshiped the heavenly bodies as gods, but God, as their creator, is sovereign over all the heavens. And it is to him that Daniel and his friends make their appeal. Can you imagine the urgency with which these men prayed? Have you ever been moved to prayer by such an extremity? Their intercession before the God of the heavens saved their lives and the lives of many others. We know they weren't afraid to die, but they were convinced that God was ultimately the one who was in control here, not King Nebuchadnezzar. What do you and I do when we find ourselves in a position that seems hopeless? Do we whine and complain, "Oh God, why me?" Do we remind God of how good he should be to us, because we try to be faithful? Or do we, like Daniel and his friends, cast ourselves on the mercy of God? Do we understand that God has the power and the authority to do whatever he wills, in us, through us, with us, or even without us? Can you and I confidently place our lives in his hands and say, "God, I trust you, even though I can't see the end"? And we allow God to give us his directive? That's the last way God uses to reveal his plans and show his sovereignty. That final way is God's delight. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. God delights to answer the prayers of his people. 2 Chronicles 16:9 reminds us that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. God gave a clear answer to the prayers of Daniel and his friends. And in response, Daniel calls us to bless the name of God forever and ever, because wisdom and power belong to him. In Holy Scripture, the name of God stands for his nature and his revealed character. It isn't merely a label or a title. Daniel acknowledges that the times and seasons are under God's dominion. If he wants to change them, he can. He controls the destiny of nations, too. He sets up earthly rulers to accomplish his purposes, and then he removes them when their work is complete. He gives wisdom and understanding to those who seek him, because he sees everything, whether it's in darkness or in the light. And finally, Daniel's humility shines through in the final verse of our text, verse 23. Notice he praises God that the king's secret, the matter, has been revealed to us. Daniel credits the unified prayers of his friends for moving God's hand and revealing the secret of the king's dream. Daniel received the vision, but he acknowledged the role of his friends in receiving it. That's a wonderful example for you and me to follow. My friend, some people in other parts of the world are experiencing visions and dreams that lead them to faith in Jesus for salvation. But unlike Daniel's time, today we have God's complete revelation to us through his word, the Holy Scriptures. They are the source of determining the ways of God in our daily walk of faith. But prayer and obedience are still keys to understanding God and his plan for our lives. Truly, he is the revealer of secrets.
I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great, is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people.
I will sing praises to thee among the nations, for thy steadfast love is great, is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted.
My friend, thank you for joining us on the Voice of Hope today. If you'd like a copy of this teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Revealer of Secrets. It's available on an audio CD or in print. The easiest way to make your request is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. You can also call us toll free at 1-866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And you can visit our website at heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to today's teaching anytime you want. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week. Lord willing, we'll break from our study in the book of Daniel to commemorate Easter. And until we meet again,
three crosses, one stone.